always interesting when you say to Duncan, so what do you want to preach on? He says, oh, yeah, you know, as long as it's got Jesus in it, it should be okay, it's fine. And I did think, well, can I preach about what I preached on yesterday for the men's thing? So welcome, men. It's, oh, no, I won't do that, okay. So, okay, I'm going to read from the message from Ephesians. It's quite hard to follow in the message, I know, because there's no numbers. But it's Ephesians 1, 11 to 19. It is in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eyes on us, had designs on us full of glorious living, part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone. It is in Christ that you, once you heard the truth and believed it, the message of your salvation, found yourselves home free, signed, sealed, and delivered by the Holy Spirit. This signet from God is the first installment on what's coming, a reminder that we'll get everything God has planned for us, a praising and glorious life. That's why when I heard of the solid trust you have in the Master, Jesus, and your outpouring of love to all the Christians, I couldn't stop thanking God for you. Every time I prayed, I'd think of you and give thanks. But I do more than thank. I ask the God of our Master, Jesus Christ, the God of glory, to make you intelligent and discerning in knowing him personally. Your eyes focused and clear so that you can see exactly what he is calling you to do. Grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life he has for Christians. Oh, the utter extravagance of his work in us who trust him. Endless energy, boundless strength. I really like that version. Really, really great. And you could probably have about 50 different sermons just from these passages. And as I was, I also then just want to read something from Matthew. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Well, we hope they all relate. This morning, as I was reading that, and this morning, I just sort of, as God laid some stuff on my heart, I just wondered. I don't know if you've seen the Easter eggs in the shops. Have you noticed how they're all packaged so very differently? Some of them are just a bit of silver foil, and some of them have elaborate boxes and ribbons and bows, and they've got more packaging, you know, than you can imagine. But fundamentally, whatever you do, when you take away the packaging and the wrapper, they are just chocolate.
It's good, though.
Yeah. Very good. Yeah. And this morning, I just wonder how we look at ourselves. And how do we view ourselves? Do we compare ourselves to others? Do we discount ourselves because we're not packaged in a particular way? I love superhero and action films, and I love it when you have these films and they've got a mission and they go out and they call all the people out who've got the special skills. I used to be a kid and follow Magnificent Seven. I used to love it. I want a really long-range shooter and something. And it was amazing. And they'd go around rallying up all these amazing people and these people would ride into town. And they would save the day. Or in the action Marvel movies, you know, they've got some fantastic skills. Anyone who's sad enough can talk to me about it. I love that. But again, the Marvel heroes, they've all got their special gifts. And unless you've got those special gifts, you know, you can't do it. And I then began to think about this passage and Jesus calling the disciples. And I was thinking, Jesus obviously wanted to establish, you know, his kingdom and reign and rule. He wants people who are going to continue his message after he's gone. So he calls the elite force out. He looks at those men who have been trained and educated with special skills, people who have stood up in great marketplaces and spoken, government officials and people who have those skills. And he creates the Jesus force. But then I read that actually that's not at all what he did at all. And he did, for some unknown reason, he called fishermen. I mean, Fishermen. They weren't wealthy, they weren't rich, they were fishermen. And I wonder, what is it that made him choose those people? What was it that made him choose the 12 disciples? I mean, to be fair, they were quite different. I'm not sure if I was recruiting, they would have been on my list. God says to Samuel, don't look on the appearance or the height of his stature, for the Lord sees not as man sees, but man looks on the outward appearance, and the Lord looks on the heart. I love this passage, which says, it's in Christ that we find out who we are, what we are living for. And this, before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eyes on, had designs on us. He had designs on us. Woo! Pretty exciting. Amazing. You know, I read something the other day that I thought was really good, which I loved, and it said that Jesus, when he called the disciples, he wasn't a football coach who saw potential and just tried to upgrade it. He saw the disciples through the lens of the Father. He saw the potential of what they would be. He saw the potential in them. And this morning, that's how Jesus and the Father looks at us. He looks at us completely differently to the way that the world will look at us. Actually, we talked about Zacchaeus yesterday. He was a short man, and he would have been seen to be, behave yourself, insignificant. Peter was a fisherman. What good could Peter do? I mean, he was just a fisherman. I mean, to be fair, and he was a bit of a messed up guy, Peter. I mean, you know, when I read the story of Peter in the gospel and I think, hey, you know, what's he doing? I mean, you know, he's doing all right, then he messes it up. You know, oh, I'll follow you anywhere. Oh, don't know him. Oh, keep away from me. No, I don't. Jesus who? And I think, wow, to be honest with you, did Jesus mess it up? Had he got it wrong? But then we read about in Acts, don't we? This Peter who denied Jesus after he's encountered the Holy Spirit walks out and preaches the gospel, and 3,000 are added, and the early church begins. Wow. Certainly, Jesus had designs on him, didn't he? And I wonder this morning, sometimes, are we sitting here this morning thinking, who am I? What am I? How can God use me? You know what? That Pete's up the front. And I can understand that he's a gobby sort. And I can see why he's at that front. You know, it's fine. Manuela is so talented musically. It's amazing. I've seen Christina come and bring some prophetic words. And it's just wonderful. And she does cap and wow, fantastic. And Jill's always so confident, she can just bring stuff, can't she? And what, to be fair, I'm invisible to God. What, I don't really have that packaging. But it's in Christ that you find out who you are and what you're living for. Long before you first heard of Christ and you got your hopes up in him, he had his eye on you for glorious living. Glorious living. You, not second-rate living, not hand-me-downs. Glorious living. He wants amazing stuff for you. I read the passage about the disciples because I was really challenged that actually the disciples on their own weren't so good. But it says, my power is made perfect in weakness. On our own, we are talentless in one way, but God can use us and shape us and call us to the things that he wants to lay on our hearts. This morning, I read these words and I really love them. I don't know who wrote them and I won't take credit for them, but it says this, Jesus needs to be the definition of all of our existence. For only then do we know who we are and what we are living for. Everything needs to be in Christ. It's quite powerful stuff, isn't it? Powerful stuff. And this morning, if you don't know this Jesus Christ and you haven't got an amazing, loving relationship with him, you are selling yourself short. Oh my word, you are running on empty, because I tell you, whatever plans you have for your life, God has better ones. Whatever plans. And you know what? If you're sort of running half side, you know God, you can have a bit but not all of it, you're missing out. God this morning says to you, I love you and I know you by name. Jesus died for you. Earlier in the passage it says, because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar, we're a free people. Jesus died for us, rose again, so that we can know what it is to be in him and know who we are in him and put our hopes in him. But for what? Yes, to know his presence. Yes, to know transformation in our life. But I love this bit. When Paul, talking to the Ephesian church, sees all that they've done. And you know, guys, a lot of us, we're Christians and we've been Christians for a while. And we could just say, I love just coming to church. It's just great. It's just awesome. We meet on a Sunday. But Paul says, more than that, he doesn't just ask. Doesn't just want. He says, I ask, not anyone. Who does Paul ask? The God of our Master, Jesus Christ, to make you intelligent, discerning in knowledge, and personally, your eyes focused and clear, so you can see exactly what he's calling you to do. Grasp the immensity of his glorious way of life. And I read that in two ways. So I think, firstly, there is that call so that we clearly see our Christian faith. We know that our Christian faith is awesome. Yeah? It's amazing. Oh my word, when we were lost and Jesus died for us and called us by name, we have freedom. We have freedom. But also, I think there's also a calling for us to be and do so much more. I just thought this morning, as we were having our time of worship, I was really struck by some words, and people are talking about our God reigning. And when our God reigns, the difference that makes. It means that we see clearly his plans. We know his forgiveness. We can know his victory. We can know his breakthrough. And we can know salvation for our friends and family. And we can do this because God can make us intelligent and discerning, because we can know him personally, and we can have our eyes focused, and we can see what he is that he's calling us to. But also, I think he can also give us revelation as well. I found this morning, as I was listening to this, that I have to go off-piste from my sermon, because I really felt God was just speaking to us in such a powerful way. And this morning, I just felt God saying that he this morning wants to bring breakthrough. And it was great this morning that we got into some small groups. But God's not finished with us yet. You know what? I think God this morning, he wants to bring that restoration. I think there are people here this morning with physical and mental issues. And God says, you know what? I want to restore you. Because God wants you to have the very best. He has designs on you. Designs on you. And then also, I felt challenged about how we want to know him personally, but also as in our walk, also we can encourage and build one another up. And you know, I don't know why this morning, I felt there was something in when Jerry said, let's get into groups. I thought almost Something about it, thought, you know, almost that's what God wants. Actually, there is real breakthrough here this morning. And I think God wants to do something in breakthrough in the way that actually we are to one another. And I was really challenged this morning about the way that we build one another up, actually. I really had a heart for doing something. And I really, really felt God wanted me to do something, but I didn't know what it was. I had no idea, and I was frustrated. I struggled at Trinity. What is it, God, you want me to do? I like singing, but I don't think it's worship. I like preaching, and it's great, but I'm not sure it's all of that. What is it you want me to do? What is it, God, that you are calling me to do? What is it that you're calling me to do? How do you want me to share my faith? How do you want me to grow? And a guy called Dave Price came up one day, and he said, Pete, I'm doing a prophetic group. Do you want to join? A what? Prophetic group? Me? Pete? I'm just Gobby. Pete, I see something in you. Gave me a book. Hope this book encourages you to hear God in your world and in the places of your influence. I pray that you will see the power of the prophetic bless your work and your church and your family. There is anointing over you to bring transformation in bringing the prophetic to the secular and the church world. You are receiving a mantle. So excited about what the Father has planned for you. I don't say that to big myself up. I say that this morning, that some of you, I think God is going to bring people alongside you, brothers and sisters. And they're going to say to you, do this, do that. I see something in you. I want to call something out in you. And I believe that's God, because God uses us. And those designs that God has had on you from the beginning, actually he wants to bring brothers and sisters alongside you to start calling that stuff out in your lives. And for you to then say, oh, I don't know, I just pray about it, weigh it, but I think God's calling it out, and to us to have faith to receive it. Oh, I love this. The immensity of the glorious way, utter extravagance, endless energy and boundless strength. And when they talk about in this passage the boundless strength, it's actually not about us having boundless strength. It's God's boundless strength. He gives us amazing power and ability to do things. He enables us and equips us. And part of that is also, there's a spiritual wisdom he gives us as well. And I have been really challenged, that also as a church we need to be spiritual mums and dads to people. And actually, I do, you know, you write these things and whatever, we'll go for it, take a risk. And I just really feel that there are, you know, that church kids, we have people who've got kids in the church, and just because you go to church, you know, there's, you know, your kids, we need to love each other's kids. We need to be speaking truth into church kids' lives. Just because mum and dad go to the church doesn't mean the children are necessarily going to grow up following the Lord the whole way. You know what? We've got a duty. Let's befriend them. Let's make sure we're alongside them. You know what? As a dad, my kids don't really listen to me. They do, but actually, friends can go along and say stuff to my kids, and they take it on board. And you know what? My thing is, you know, I encourage you, if you know young people who've got young kids, get to be friends with them, go round, babysit, get to know their kids, because when their kids start asking questions, you're also there to answer them. You know what? I don't know about you, but we have so many children that come to this church. And I want to see those kids sitting here in 10 years' time with their friends. You know, it was sad. I was at an event last night and I was talking to people and their kids, people we've grown up with at church when we were in our 20s. And they say, oh, you're so lucky your kids are walking with God. Ours aren't. And my heart, I'm being honest, my heart breaks. Because I think, you know, what there is, you know, there's nothing you can do. You know, it's not a magic formula. But I just encourage us to pray for kids. Pray for adult kids. Doesn't matter if they don't know God. I'm really on my heart this morning. Really on my heart. Because God has designs on them. He hasn't given up. He has amazing plans for them. And actually this morning, I think we talked about, Duncan was in the prayer room this morning and he was talking about taking ground. Was it taking ground? And this morning, I think actually we need to understand we are in a battle. You know, and actually written across our chest is we are on the winning side. We are on the winning side. Christ has paid the price for freedom. If we know and love Jesus Christ, the enemy has not got a hold. But he likes to get in behind the back and interfere with our families. And this morning, we have the power of prayer. And prayer breaks things. And prayer makes a difference. This morning, I just feel God's heart says, you know what, this morning, we need to do such business with him. Let's ask people to stand. This morning, can I just ask that if you've got children or people in your family that don't know Jesus, can I just ask you just to be really bold and just to raise a hand? Can I just ask those of you who haven't got a hand raised just to gather around some other people? Doesn't matter if you've never prayed for anybody before. Doesn't matter. I just want you to stand there. And you know, I'm just going to pray. And just as I pray, I just pray that you just put that hand on them or towards them. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we know that you have designs on each and every one of us. Father God, we pray that, Lord, as you have called us, you have called us to be light. Father God, this morning we pray for our family, for our children that do not know you. And we say, Father God, that you would break through. Father God, we pray as we come towards this Easter time, that Father, that we would have the opportunity to share the fact that you are the hope and the way and the truth. Father God, I pray that we would have encounters with our children or others, that people we would be able to speak truth into their lives. But I pray, Father God, that it's not us that convert people, but your Spirit. And I pray your Spirit would fall upon them. Father God, I pray that you would be a botherer of those people. I pray that you would stir their spirit, Father God. Father God, Paul never asked for you, but you blinded him and knocked him off his horse and you called him and he made a difference. Father God, I pray that some people will have massive encounters with God. I pray that you would do the supernatural things because you are a supernatural God. And Lord, we don't just work, these are not just words, but Father God, we just pray that you would take these words and they go into the heavenlies and you would break something. Father God, we pray, may your Spirit fall. May we remember these people in our minds, day in, day out. We don't just want to pray for today. I want to pray tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And Father God, I pray that we would see new people, new souls, knowing you as Lord and Saviour. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I'm really sorry that this may seem like a rambling sermon, but I just feel God just this morning wants to do some stuff. And this morning, I think there are people also with some health issues and some mental health issues. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands and whatever, but I just want to pray for you if that's okay. Father God, I pray that, Lord, you would be the great physician. Father God, my heart breaks when I hear about Jerry. But Lord, nothing compares to the way it breaks. Lord, you know what it is to weep. But Father God, we pray Lord, that your healing hand would come. Lord God, we know that you can heal. And this morning I ask in faith, bring your favor. And Father God, I pray for those who are suffering with mental anxiety, depression, heaviness. Father God, I say that you would bring a joy and a peace. Father God, that you would speak into something that, Lord, that to us is impossible, but to you all things are possible. Bring your light and revelation. May they know that you have designs on them and you want to bless them. Father God, we do business with you, Father God, because you are God Almighty. Nothing but no one compares to you. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we declare your authority in this place today. Come in power and might. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.